Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you have tuned in. Thank you for being here today. What an awesome day to be alive. We thank God for His mercy and His grace. Thank God for His peace that surpasses all understanding. We love Him, we appreciate Him, and we thank God for who He is. And we bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. Amen. And we also welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Amen. Apostle Ruth W. Smith, who is in Ghana right now doing the will of the Lord. And we pray that God will bless and keep them and let His will be done and change Ghana for the better. Amen. Eradicate darkness in Ghana. We thank God for them, and we pray that God will continue to bless them, amen, and give them the dunamis power that they need to get the job done, amen, because the world needs, amen, a word from the Lord, needs a touch from the Lord, and we're so glad that we are the believers, and the believers, signs should follow them that believe, amen. We should cast out demons, we should heal the sick. We should be able to raise the dead. We should be able to do the impossible because of who is in us. Amen. So we thank God for everybody. We thank God for another opportunity to spread His word, to get into His word today and learn more and more about Him. Amen. Because the more we know Him, the more we can love Him. Amen. So before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to go forward. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us all give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah for what He has done. And thank God for the opportunity to just be able to lift up His name and to give Him glory and to give Him honor and to give Him praise. So we thank God for it on today. Father, we thank You, Lord God, and we bless You and we honor You today, God. Thank You, Lord God, for another day, Lord God, that we can lift up Your name, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, for another day that we can believe and trust and know that You are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above anything that we could even ask or think about. So, God, we thank You, Lord God, for keeping us, Lord. We thank You, Lord God, for motivating us, Lord. We thank You, Lord God, for encouraging us, Lord. And we thank You, Lord God, for supplying every need according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Thank
now,
you,
Lord, we thank You again, Lord God, for protecting our bishop and the team as they travel, Lord God, to Ghana and travel back, oh God. We pray that they will have an awesome Holy Convocation 2022.
Amen.
And we thank You for it, and we give God glory for the souls that shall be saved and folks that will be delivered.
Amen.
And set free. We thank You, Lord.
Thank
Keep
you,
their
Lord.
Bodies healthy and strong. Bring them back home safely and in good health. Thank You for the Bible study on tonight, Lord God. Thank You for the preachers that's going to share the word tonight, Lord God. Let it go through with power. Oh, God, let the people come out to the service, God, and we just bless You right now, Lord, that we'll be encouraged as we go through this day. I thank You, Lord God, and bless You and honor You, Lord, that those that may not be feeling well today, Lord God, that You will heal their bodies, oh, God. Thank You, Lord, for those that are bereaved today and having funerals today. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that You would just dry up their tear-stained eyes, oh, God. I thank You for it, Lord. I bless You right now, Lord God, and I give glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Go into the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings He's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where He brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed, I looked around, here's what I said, the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Arms wide open, he always welcomed me.
My legs and I can walk. I got the tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive, I got my lungs and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings He's given to me. Bless my family and they do.
Nobody expects for her to be gone. Pastor Little, the young jet boy used to play the organ. His mom, she's a pastor. She's gone. She's 50 years old. She's gone. Yeah. Yeah. 50 years old, gone. And it's just amazing. So short. I can't even fathom right now Dr. Holmes is gone.
Yeah, I can't.
It's just amazing. And so we can't afford to take another day for granted. You know, and my second brother who passed last year, his wife called us on Saturday talking to us, and she's doing okay and all this stuff. But she wanted to talk. She wanted to talk. So we just let her talk. And yesterday morning I got a text that she was in the hospital. And then I got a call from my niece. She's gone.
What?
Gone. Just like that. So we can't afford to take anything for granted. We don't know. And just like that, you know, and could be us, could be any one of us. But God has everything in control. And this lesson really should put us in a posture of being grateful with you. Because when we left off, we're saying that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies, he died for us. And to put it in to try to simplify it enough is to have somebody who's wealthy, who owns everything, to go and get a pauper, go and get a beggar, go and get somebody who's not worthy, clean them up, pay for them with their own hurt, pay for them, and bring them in the palace with them. Bring them in their home with them and give them free reign. Everything that in this house belongs to you. We think about when people are adopted, that they say have the same privilege, right? That even though they're not blood related, but when they got adopted, they're supposed to have free reign and ownership of everything that the adopter owns, right? And we know that's not always the case. There's a lot of people adopt just for money. But God adopt us because he loves us so and want us to bring us back in right standing with him. That's all he wanted to do, is bring us back into right standing. And so when I think about that, I think about how that we talked about the word last week, reconciliation, meaning bring it back into right standing. And I thought about we were formed by the hand of God. I mean, the only thing he touched when he created during creation, hallelujah, the only thing he touched was man. Everything else he just spoke. He spoke, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And so he formed us from the dust of the earth, put his hands on us. Then he breathed his life into us. So we were formed. And then here come Adam. And because of Adam's sin, we were deformed. So when you're formed, that means you come into being, you come into existence. We were formed, right? But when we are deformed, it changed from the original state into something that's marred, something that's not original. And so here comes Jesus to reform us, to change us back into that original state. And And it's nothing because of what we have done. we don't even deserve it, but he, while we were yet his enemy, while we were yet sinners, he decided, even like I said before, even before we sinned, he already had provision made for us to be reformed. And now we're formed back. And, you know, we read Romans 8, and we get to 28, and we said, well, we know that all things work together for good. But we see the reason why it works for our good, because he's trying to form us in the image of his son. So when things come in our lives that buffers us, it's just to form us. Because now he got to reform us because of what happened. That's why we repent, because we got to go back to the top. We got to go back to the pinnacle, right? We got to go back to where it is. And so we repent. We change our thinking. We change our heart. We change our will back to his. And so Jesus paid the price to reform us. And we reform in the image. Now, you know, a lot of us don't want people to look like us. A lot of us, when we get an outfit, we don't want to see another person got it on. We have a, oh, I got to go home and change. They got on the same dress I got on. I got to go home and change. We don't like people having stuff we got. But Jesus died so we can be and have what he had. Oh, my God. Do we really understand the depth of what that is? That he paid for it. And not just, you know, it's easy if somebody got money to pay for something with cash, right? But if you got it. But he paid with his life. He has everything. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, right? He has everything. He can just say, hey, I can scoop up some gold out of the mountain of Arabia, and they go to payment. They go to payment, right? No. He took the most precious thing there is, which is life, and gave that up to just bring us back, reconcile us back into the state that when he first formed us, when we were out sin, didn't know what sin was about. And what's so really great is, because when we sin, when Adam sinned, he had to then move them out of the garden where the tree of life was. Because if they had gotten back to the tree of life and ate of that, they would have been in that sinful state forever. They wouldn't have been able to die. They wouldn't be able to repent anymore. Because the tree of life is eternal. And if you ever... That's why when we get there, we're going to eat the leaves of
them. Ourselves eternally, we would have never been able to repent. And I think that's time, like as parents, and if you have small children and something, you know, like God, we had to throw them out because the tree of life was still there. But like us, I was thinking, you know, when I get something and it might have been like a cleaning product or something that had poison or something, how you put it up out of your children's reach and how you make sure that they don't get that thing that's going to harm them or, you know, or something like that. And so we love our children so much that, you know, as parents, we made sure that all those dangerous things or medicines or anything was put up out of their reach, so they just couldn't walk around and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have looked like a bad thing that God is doing something against us. He don't have it. But it's for our good.
Yeah.
And so that's why all things work together for our good. He went and did something that would prevent us from being lost forever.
Ooh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus. I mean, do we really understand the level and the attitude of his love that he goes beyond just, okay, they sin against me, but still, I'm going to make provision that they're not lost forever. Because the plan was already put in place. The lamb was already slain from the foundation of the world, right? And so he reconciled us back to him. And so even the state when we, you know, when you first do something against somebody, you can get kind of angry, right? And even in that state, God was working a plan to restore man back, to reconcile us back. Abraham was called only for the plan of God to be reconciled. That's Abraham was chosen for the lineage to come through, for Jesus to come. That's why when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, he began to go back to Abraham. I was trying to figure out why he's going through this history, but that's how it all started. That's where Jesus, the thought of Jesus was coming through. The whole plan was to bring Jesus into the earth and to bring it through Abraham's seed, right? And so the thing is that God did all this just to reconcile us back to him. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Parents put their children out just so they can reconcile them back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they love them so much that
they call it tough love.
Right. Right. You know, so just listen to Elder Heath. It's great when you put it above the shelf so they won't get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. But the ones that are, they get it.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they even have a program kids
right.
Yes, right. That's right. Where they were taking them to prison, that's what you want to be. You keep doing what you're doing.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because long before the program came on, I did that to my kids. And well, he was young, but he was stealing, staying at the register. Next thing I know, guard the door. Like, where did you get that? He has bubblicious in his pocket, and sneak stuff at, but stealing. But even at home, stuff out of the and stuff like that. So I did. You know, I have called the sheriff on him, and this, that, and the other. He come sit down in our house and talk with him, had him on the head, just there, say, I don't understand why you kids are doing. He said, this my, she done called. And so the one time I did, I took him and left him off at the police station. He was in the car. I went in there and talked to him first, told him what I was trying to do. And they said, what? Okay, we'll go along with him. Brought him right in there. Left him. I said, well, y'all know what to do with him. And let me tell you, my son was just, he was crying and he couldn't believe it. And they were just like, come on, son. Come on here. You know, let me show you something. And I sat out, you know, in the parking lot, you know, a while. And so, when I thought they were done showing him all stuff and everything, and oh, I'm telling you, yep. Yeah, so I don't know about the program straight or whatever, but I did it with my children. Right. Yeah, sure enough.
Mm-hmm. The thing is about that though, you went and got him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I could go get him.
Yeah, yeah,
After
all of that,
that's good. And
you went and got him.
But the same way with Jesus, when he put us through stuff that we go through. Still there.
Mm-hmm.
Never leave us, don't forsake. And you know, when I think about how he anointed a heathen king to do his bidding,
mm-hmm.
even while it was in captivity, they were under punishment.
Mm-hmm.
They're being punished, right? But he still uses a king who don't know him to do his bidding. For his people, for the same hard-headed people that was disobedient, he did that for us. So that's the extent of his love, right? And even while he's punishing us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll give us what we need. Amen?
No, absolutely. that love wasn't good enough. So verse 8 was saying God demonstrated his own love, that same love he had for his son while we were his enemies, like to say, far away from him. I'm like, wow, you know, his own love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have no clue. Look at it. I mean, it's hard. My mom can't find it out. I mean, it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about our love for our children.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even compare. And you know, and so we ought to just have this gratitude about what Jesus did for us. And be so grateful to him that nobody would have to tell. Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Nobody should have to do that because you're so grateful that you was able to inhale, exhale. That is the song say, another blessing. You got your legs, you got your arms, you got eyes, you can see, you got mouth, you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the hospital right now, wish they could move.
Mm-hmm.
They're dying to want to move.
Mm-hmm.
So we ought to just be grateful for the love of God that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is saying to them that don't be caught up with all that stuff about what you do. By faith. Faith is Jesus Christ. God has extended his love for you.
Mm-hmm.
That even while you were enemy, he painted a real good picture.
Mm-hmm.
While you were even his enemy,
mm-hmm.
that's what he
did.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking about Abraham. While Abraham was a heathen, he gave him the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, so thank God for that God loved us enough that he declared us righteous. Reconcile us back to him.
Mm-hmm.
We're now his son.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Look at that word, enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very powerful. Because if I got an enemy, you think I'm gonna help him? You think I'm gonna give my life for them? I'm like, partner, you on your own. But Christ says, no, I'm not leaving nobody out. No one is exempt. I came for even the haters and all of them. He said, I came to die for all. So, you know, that's a type of love that we cannot even fathom. Not at all. I mean, that's some strong, strong love. I don't know how in the world no one would want to say amen or serve God. But one day you will say amen, either here or when he come back. Because he said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It may be too late, but you're going to say it.
Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And you know, David was able to demonstrate that love and honor. When I say love, because he should have killed Saul.
Yeah.
I mean, Saul was after him. I mean, he was yelling at him when he was being shooting them demons out of him. He was dabbling at him. And then he's on the run from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. But your enemy is out to kill you.
Yeah.
You had a place now where you have him. They said, dead to right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had him right there.
Yeah.
But he said, no.
Yeah.
Touch nothing on my Lord, nor to none. Do my harm, a prophet no harm. He didn't touch him at all. And he was even scared of anything on promise. He didn't want to even do that. So we see the expression of God's love throughout the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it can't compare to the ultimate love of God. Where while we were yet sinners, those people you want to get out, right? Get rid of them, right? But God demonstrated love to us. So we're going to go from verses 9 and 10. Romans 5, 9, 10.
Okay, I had the New American Standard. Much more than that, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What I got out of that was we were saved from God's wrath through the blood of Jesus, him dying on the cross, shed his blood for us. And we could only be reconciled to God by the death of Jesus, because he was the ransom. That was the only price that could be paid to keep God's wrath from us. And because Christ lives, now we have life.
And that's why Resurrection Sunday is important. Because if he had just been crucified and stayed in the grave, the life part would not exist. Our debt would have been paid for.
Yeah.
But still, we didn't have life. We wouldn't have life.
Yes,
so now he says he's come to give us life and life abundant. Yeah. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes does not perish, but have everlasting life." So it ain't just about paying the price. It ain't, it's deeper than just escaping the wrath. Because even though we're escaping the wrath, we're going to reign with him.
Oh, God.
That's a whole another stick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're escaping the wrath, but you could still be in prison somewhere. You're on death row, but you ain't been killed yet. They ain't inject you yet, or they ain't fried you in the jail or not, but you're still convicted. But no, so if you're on death row and you're still on death row, you escape the wrath of death, but you ain't free. Right? But so Jesus, now he didn't only just let us escape the wrath, but now he put us in another place, coming on where we are priests and kings, where now we have the right, we can declare stuff, we can decree stuff. His enemy can be transformed into his son. Wow. That's amazing. To think that somebody in their right mind would grab their enemy, bring him to this side, and be able to sleep at night while the enemy is out. But that's the love of God. Goes past, my mother said, past understanding. Go past what we think in our head. Because nobody in their right mind would do that but God. Because God loves goes beyond our thinking. And so his wrath, we escape that. But I'm so glad it goes beyond just the wrath. You know, because if we escape hell, okay, that's good. But it is greater than that. You know what I'm saying? We're going to live forever. We're going to live forever in peace. And we're going to have joy. We're going to live with the Father. There's nothing can compare to the life we would live once we get to heaven. Right? Compared to now, we have good days and are here, but it can't compare to what it's going to be. Hallelujah. I mean, these bodies will no longer feel pain. There's going to be no limitation on this body. Just want to... Yeah. It's a bird, it's a plane. Yeah. It's L.A. Because now you'll be transformed into that celestial, that the new body. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I think y'all remember a year ago,
the Amish schoolhouse and murdered and killed all those children. That was watched the movie again a few days ago, I think, Breaking Amish or something like that. And the people couldn't understand, the news reporters in the world couldn't understand how these Amish people really forgave him. I mean, he turned a gun and shot himself, but he left his family, his wife and a couple of kids, and the Amish went to minister to them, to her, and her brokenness, and they bought stuff, you know, and to help keep her household going and this, that, and the other. And the people, you know, when they, you know, had to work with the kids, of course, they were in the same classroom with their friends having been murdered and all, but yet their parents taught them about the love that they had to feel, like that they couldn't carry this hatred and this resentment. And I said, boy, that's really kind of powerful. You know?
It's just it's a family not too long ago that the three that killed the mama and the daddy and then the grandson, those people said, we're not holding anything against them.
Isn't that so?
We forgive. Yeah. And that takes the love of God.
Yeah.
It's beyond us. It's the love of God that works through us. That's the same reason why we can say, I don't know, that person did me wrong, but you can't hate them. You just forgive them and you keep moving. But that's the love of God shown abroad in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick it back on what you said. I was looking at that on the news, and he says, the Lord says, vengeance. Just a man who is really standing for God. He done lost a mother, a father, and a son. But
come on now.
I mean, that's the love of God.
That's the love of God.
Now, he wants the right thing done, but he said, vengeance belongs to God. That's all I got to say about that.
He wasn't trying to repay.
Uh-uh.
But a lot of times, I don't know how I would respond if somebody killed my loved one or something. But it's so many people that do say, I hope they burn in hell. You know, that type of thing. So that's kind of the wrong mindset to have, because you're causing a judgment upon that person. I know you're angry and everything, but still it's not right.
Well, if God has his way, I don't care who was watching that, they get walk away with the same thing. That, well, two things. One mindset is, oh, well, how they can do that. The other mindset is, that's God.
That's God. That's right.
That's God. But the other mindset, you just don't know. How can they do that? You know, baffle about it. And so maybe that's a way God can start working on them.
Yeah.
To demonstrate his love.
Yeah.
And see, that's what God wants us to show in a situation like that. That he gets the glory, not us, but him.
My God, that's a good point. That's a good point. It's just like when Elder Heath taught her class in the evangelism class, and she taught on evangelism, in an evangelism class. But the thing is, she was teaching concerning living in your grief and putting it out there on the social media. But if she didn't wrap that thing into evangelism, like if you grieving so bad, don't put nothing on social media. But if you put something on social media, let it be something encouraging that will help somebody else have some hope. Once they read that about your loved one is gone, but you're saying, I know they're with the Lord or something. Use the scripture. I trust God that he know what he's doing or something. Use something that is encouraging. So when the next person reads that, it will be a blessing to them and not a hindrance to them.
Amen. Anybody good on 9 and 10? Okay, let's do 11 and 12. You can die.
Not only is this so, but we can also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Well, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and this was death came to the people because all had sinned. I got a little commentary here. And now we have come to the sixth benefit of justification. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We not only rejoice in his gift, but the giver himself. Before we were saved, we found our joys elsewhere. Now we were saved, we found our joys elsewhere. Now we exalt whenever we remember him and are sad only when we forget him. What this produces, the marvelous change, so that he can now be glad in God. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, like our blessing, this joy comes through him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can rejoice in what Jesus did. And so having been, again, reconciled back, you know, I can just imagine that prodigal son. He went home under the, in his mind, I would just be a servant. It was good for me to just to be in the vicinity of my father's house. So I would just be glad to be a servant. And when he got there, his dad was waiting on him and put him back in right standing, reconciled him back to his son. Because when he left under the thought now that my daddy is dead. Because in order to get your inheritance, it forces me to be dead, right? So he left with the mindset that you are dead to me. I mean, think about this, love. Yeah. You are dead to me, so I need my inheritance now. While his dad is yet living, he's telling his dad. He goes to a foreign, he breaks every relationship with his dad. Separate himself into a foreign, think about what the actual word is used. It's a foreign land he went to, right? And then when he got there, realized, in my father's house, servants are doing better than me. And so let me come to myself and go back home. Even though now I told my dad he's dead, and here he is waiting on me and welcome me, kiss me, put a ring on my face, clothe me. You are now back. Reconciled back, I now give you, oh my God, reconcile him back. Hallelujah. I can just imagine how it just blew his mind. Because he was under the impression, I'm just going to be a servant. I'll be cleaning some rooms. I'll be eating better than I'm eating right now. I'll have to sweep up some floors. I'm going to be doing better than I'm doing right now. Let me just go back to the house. But the father was there waiting on him with open arms. No hesitation. No, nothing. I mean, just as soon as he came. Restoration. Put a ring on your finger. Put a robe on. Oh, my God. Clothe him. I could just imagine him saying, I don't deserve it. Don't deserve none of this. So that's how we should feel today. I don't deserve this. Because we have not done anything to deserve what God has done for us. Nothing. I don't care how good we can be. because we were yet his enemies. And while we were, he died for us. And so now that his death, we now receive reconciliation to him. Jesus Christ brought us right back. Hallelujah. Like that prodigal son, came back home.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have to be no servant.
Yeah.
I'm thinking here because when it said through this one man, and because of him, all became sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about even though we all, you know, admit that our parents were perfect, and the odds that mine weren't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sorry. You know? So, yeah, so and I mean, he did everything and everything, but what is because of what he did, drinking and gambling and doing, what if when he came back, they deemed the whole house as sinners? And if people in the neighborhood would say,
yeah,
well, don't go by that house, a bunch of sinners live there.
Mm-hmm.
It's because one of your parents were out in the world and sin. So, you know, who would be able to come and make us righteous and rectify? People would be, avoiding you like the plague,
right.
Even if you went to public school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they live in the house of the sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that one man, all would be made sinners.
Yeah.
I was just kind of thinking,
yeah.
Well, I guess parents that weren't perfect, and so I'm admitting that they sinned, but I'm just glad that it didn't stay on me to stain me.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked my dad, I'm like, how was I born into sin? I didn't do nothing. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand it. Then my dad tried to, explain to me what had taken place. Who is Adam? I don't know anything about that. I don't have anything to do with what he did. I was innocent. And then my dad tried to tell me everybody was born into sin because of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a long time to, because I'm like, no, I didn't do nothing. I'm innocent. Because I couldn't understand.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And some people say, I was born into sin. I know you're born in the hospital. So you're born. Yeah, I was born. I came up there. You know. But God's grace is what we have to dwell on. And he said that this one sin by one man, it destroyed the whole race. The whole human race became sinner. Just because of one man, but he represented Adam represented the world. When God formed him, he said, go multiply, replenish the earth. So all nations were coming out of him. So he was responsible. So when you're given authority, when you're given dominion, responsibility comes with it. And if you mess up, you could mess up everything that comes after you. I mean, no matter what it is. You can be sorry for it, but the mess has been made. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when Adam sinned, because he was the man, he represented the human race. So therefore, whatever he had in him at that point went down to the sea.
Adam repented. I believe Adam repented when Jesus went preaching the grave.
Mm-hmm. I believe. Yes. That's what I believe.
Because I just never read it when he, repented. I'm sure he probably had some type of feeling about it. Because when we sin, sometimes we like to go and hide,
yes.
Like he did, in the garden because of shame.
Mm-hmm.
But I know. I'm pretty sure he felt real bad about it. But when Jesus came on the scene, he made it right. You know.
God is a sacrifice for them. Mm-hmm. God, what kind of love is this? Yeah. He went and made a sacrifice for them.
Yes.
For their sin. Oh, my God. They didn't do a sacrifice. He did it for them.
He
so he has never been sent. We could still never been saved off Adam's repentance.
Right. Yes.
Only Jesus. Only Jesus.
Oh, my God. This thing is amazing. Oh, my goodness. So no matter what, we got to make sure that we always... Everything is through Jesus. Mm-hmm. But John 1 says everything that was made by him, was made for him.
Uh-huh.
And everything was made for his good pleasure. So we got to just set in and let his will be done. Because we are made for him. Not for our own good. No, the reason why we're here is because he wanted us to be here. He got something for us to do. Not that I got my own plan. I'm going to do this. No. God sent you here with a purpose. And so, if you don't fulfill that purpose, one way or another, don't be like Sam. He fulfilled it the day he died.
Mm-hmm.
And disobey God. Because I was in Bible study one time, not here, but here in Georgia somewhere. And the sister said, well, I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, why did you put that tree in the garden? Why did you do that? But see, what we just discussed it a few minutes ago, now when Christ came on the scene, we just might as well forget about what Adam did, the damage been done. Because Christ
mm-hmm.
came to free us from that.
From that. Mm-hmm.
Christ gave us free will to serve him or not.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to love you either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope that we would serve him because of what he went to the cross and did. He showed us unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
so therefore we should do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But it represents that thing. Which we are tested by on a regular basis. Okay? So even though we don't have the tree, we still have the fruit of that tree.
Yeah.
And so we've been picking off that tree
yeah.
after we saw what Adam did. Ain't that something? We saw the mistake Adam made, and we still going right back to the tree. Good. All the stuff that we're seeking after, we're doing the same thing. So it doesn't matter about the tree.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting the fruit. And we same fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do nothing but that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pass you, so she's gonna slap me, but she but we can't pick at them because we pull the same fruit. Every
yeah.
day we're picking the same
every
fruit.
Day. Mm-hmm.
So how are we gonna condemn him? And if Adam didn't have the Bible like we got it.
Because the Bible is still disobey God.
Yeah.
So we just
the
worst off.
He saw his example.
Right.
And saw what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do. And then when we get to heaven, we want to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. He the one who ought to slap us. Say, I set an example for y'all.
Yeah.
Learn by my example, right? He should be the one who want to slap us. I mean, right?
Exactly.
Thank
praise
God.
God. Ain't none there. Ain't none there. Praise God.
I know because somebody want to come to slap us.
For real. And I'm just reminded.
You hear people, especially in Bible, say that they get in confrontation about, oh, it was because of me.
Uh-huh.
No, it was because of Adam.
Uh-huh.
It was because of deception. Let's just call as we see it. It was because of our disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. Because when we stand before God,
yeah.
I doubt if God asked me, do I have an excuse? already had it in front of him. He already knew what I did before I even thought about doing it. So we can't outsmart him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just funny when you're just talking about Adam and Eve. Because we like to point the finger.
Yeah, that's what we like to do.
The serpent represents Satan, and Satan's still doing the same thing he did in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll
continue to do it.
Right.
And still going to do it. Ain't going to change. And I'm just reminded of the fact that the scripture talks about that God is married to the backslider. So if you really saved and you get caught out there doing something and you really repent, it's going to be like the prodigal son. You are coming back and you are willing to do whatever you need to do in order to be in right standing with God. So that's kind of where we should be now. But a lot of Christian people, a lot of us, is not there. We can do something wrong every day of the week and not think anything about it. I'm saying that grace is covering me. But we should not do that. God forbid.
We don't like to humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. I like to pick out your fault and your fault. But
that's
when it
right.
comes to me, I don't like to humble myself.
That's right.
And that's why I get in trouble. See, Brother Kassan,
right.
he humbled himself.
That's
he
right.
He knew he had messed up.
That's right.
And he called it out concerning
that's
himself.
That's right.
That's
right.
why he was able to go back. That's
mm-hmm.
why the Father had opened arms
mm-hmm.
for him to come back. Now, for some of our kids, sometimes they'll leave and take whatever they want to take. And then when things go to getting bad, they think they can go back to mom and dad house. And they got it like they had it when they was teenagers. It don't work like that. You're grown. You know, you're on your own.
You got it. You got about 2 minutes. So any final comment before, because we want to make first, it says, in fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. So don't brag on the law. That the law, all they did was point out your sin. When the law didn't exist, you had nobody to point out your sin.
So he's saying, when Adam messed up, and then Jesus came on the scene, it was white clean for everybody.
So by one man's righteousness, all
gets to belong to him. Now that's going to be. That's going to be the key to it, is what you just said, opportunity. It's been done, but the opportunity, whether or not you receive Jesus, because there are people who believe that Jesus died, and once he died, that made them right. They don't have to do all this other stuff. There's religion. There are people who believe that. And so that is, you got to receive Jesus, even though it's been made. It's been set there for us. He died for every person, every person.
It's just like we have a food pantry. We got food back there. You know, and my pride tells me I'm not a beggar. I'm not going to go back there and get nothing because I don't want people to think I don't have. But it's available
mm-hmm.
to you
mm-hmm.
without cost.
Mm-hmm.
The grace of God is available without cost.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us, we think that we are above it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go to church because I got it like that. I mean, I pay my own bills. I do this, I do that. How you breathe? How breath come in your lungs? You think it's just automatic? I mean, if you ever, you know, I like to watch shoulder.
shows that tells you about this body. You didn't even think about what it takes for this body to even move, to raise my hand, all the stuff that has to happen. Man could not have made that. I have to think about it, and the thought has to go, the stimulus has to go through my body to make my nerves do what they need to do, to get my muscles to do what they need to do, and for me to know that I'm doing what I want to do. Because if the cognitive don't work good, I can be trying to raise my hand, but my foot will move, right? But all those things got to work together. It's got to be God. Mm-hmm. I mean, this body is oh my God. It's phenomenal. I mean, to think to make that, even just doing this, it looks so simple. But if you understand what all that takes for that movement, you know that. It doesn't just happen, and we take it for granted.
And you know what? Guess what? He just said, look at how God gave man the knowledge to put a human to sleep, to cut on them, and then give them enough knowledge to give them the amount of anesthesia in order to wake them up at the right time.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody do that for God, not me.
Yeah.
But see, sometimes we put our trust in the doctor. There's only one great physician. His name is Christ Jesus. There's none above him. It's just amazing the things that God do. Take a plane, put 240 people on it, and it stays in there like that. That's God.
Right. It is. That is. Yeah. See? Yes. Yes.
And you know what? You know what? Even this body, people who put weight on a body that was murdered, submerged in the water, all the way to the bottom because it got weight on it, right? When the gas is in that body, because of decomposing, that body automatically gonna rise to the top. It's amazing. And the same gases that makes the body rise is the same thing they use in the ship. It's amazing how they can keep a big old heavy thing on top of the water. And you can't be on top of the water. You'll start going. It's amazing. Thank God for this, God. Today, I'll tell you, Romans 5 is powerful and some good information. So those of you out there, please continue to listen in, study this Romans 5 and so we can get some deep stuff out of what God is trying to tell us today. So we know we're out of time, but we're not out of message. Amen. So we want to do Pastor Anna, tell you about your offering, and then we're going to be ready to go.
Oh, come on and give Pastor Anna. Thank God for this word, and we thank God for the anointing. We know all y'all saved and hearing. Look like those online, too, are saved.
Mm-hmm.
So we praise God for this word on today. I want y'all to know today is my birthday.
Yes, yeah, so it is.
Yes,
it is.
My birthday. I want to, May 4th. Just want to thank God for another year. But we want to give today. We want to go in and give our tithes and our offerings. On today, I do have my square. Don't want to wait until tonight. Want to give it on at noonday. So as you give, God is truly going to give it back to us.
Amen.
Press down, shaking together, and running over. Tell men, give unto our bosom. So amen. I just thank God, and I just bless the Lord for what he's going to do. You can, if you're giving online, please go on and give through the app. And then you can text that to me at 770-906-0607. 770-906-0607. You can text that amount to me, and I'll make sure it's counted in on Noonday. And those who are in the house, cash that. I have my square over here as well.
Yeah. Amen. So we thank God for giving. We ask God to bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Make it be just administration of it. Let it go forth. Oh, God, we thank God for us being in Africa right now, doing the work up there. We thank God for the donation that we sent to finish that roof. They have a place that is covered. Amen. And out of the sun. Amen. They're having a great time in Africa, Ghana, Africa right now. And we pray God's blessing upon them that God will continue to use them and bring them back safe in the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank God for you and especially you. We pray, God, that your day be great and your mind and your spirit be uplifted in the name of Jesus. And be grateful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Father God, we thank you right now. We bless your name. We glorify you, God. We ask you to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Bless our Bible study tonight, God. Use the man, the woman of God, whoever teaching tonight. Oh, God, that we would have an exciting time in your word, and we will grow, and we will find out what our purpose is in you, because we want to be used by you. In Jesus' name we pray. God, bring us back to that appointed time. All this blessings we ask in you. Amen.